All right, let's talk about aliens.
And why would you be a chameleon?
I love them. Those eyes, man.
Those eyes. You know what I really think? I think goats are awesome because of their eyes.
I do like goat's eyes, too.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are creeped out by goat's eyes, but...
Yeah, they're mysterious because they're alien-looking.
I think they're adorable.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, in a cute way. Baby goats are the best. I can't wait to have baby goats.
Hopefully I know.
Very soon.
But anyways, we're live. So, welcome back. It's me, Huntley. I'm with Andy and David again. How are you two doing?
Man, the world is shit. That's how I'm doing.
I'm feeling the same.
Yeah, the world... The world sucks. We're all reclusive. Hence why we're talking about aliens at late at night.
Yeah.
That's a good
from
time
the comfort of our own home.
From the comfort of our own homes.
Mm-hmm.
Streaming it live for anybody that's willing to listen. So this week we actually have somewhat of a format. We'll try not to go off the rails too much. No guarantees.
Hopefully no gremlins.
With no fucking interdimensional gremlins disconnecting Andy. And have you guys ever heard about the UFO crash in Chihuahua, Mexico?
No.
I have
Please
not.
Tell me.
Okay. Tell me. So.
Would you like to know more?
Yeah. Yes. But I want to know more after I read the story.
Starship Troopers.
But this happened in 1974, and it was around 10 o'clock at night, and U.S. Air Defense detected an unknown object that was traveling at 2,500 miles an hour. And it was...
2,500?
Yeah.
Speed of sound, Mach 1 is 700?
Yeah. Right? Yeah, but I'm going to go in... Yeah, Mach 4. Yeah. But this was around 150 miles south of Corpus Christi over the Gulf of Mexico. Now, like 2,000, like the official number that I see is 2,530 miles per hour. And the fastest fighter jets of the time was the XB Valkyrie American, and it topped out at 2,050 miles per hour. And the Russian aircraft, the MiG-25, topped out at 2,170 miles per hour.
So, wow, or 300 and something, 50 something, whatever.
Yeah.
To make up for.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the only jet that was around at the time that could have done that was the YF-12 from Lockheed. But it only topped out at 2,275 miles. And this is the other interesting thing about it, was it was never mass-produced because of Vietnam costs. So by 1974, that was not even on the table. So there's not really many jets, like documented jets, that went that speed. And now, its altitude was at 75,000 feet. Your average civilian aircraft only travels at 36,000 feet. And around the initial observation, the object started to slow down to less than 2,000 miles per hour, and it began to descend into Mexican airspace. So most of the operators at the time just thought it was a fucking meteor. They were just like, oh, it's a meteor. And like, not just nonchalantly, meteor crashing into Mexico. You know, they're only our neighbors. Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah. But the object disappeared completely. And an hour, like around in the same hour that this happened, a civilian aircraft also came down in the same area of that object, of the unknown object. And the civilian aircraft had been traveling from El Paso, Texas, into Mexico. So there was no way that it would have even been on the same flight path of this object that was over the Gulf of Mexico.
Okay.
So, basically, early in the morning after the civilian aircraft crashed, Mexican authorities sent out a search for the missing craft, and around 10:30-ish, a report came over radio that the wreckage of the civilian plane had been found. But around the same time, another report of a disc-like object in one piece and only slightly damaged appeared. So, we have an unknown object and a civilian aircraft. Unfortunately, I can't find the civilian aircraft, what model it was. But regardless, if they are flying and they collide, you would think there would be some damage. From what I'm understanding, this civilian aircraft was fucked. Like, destroyed. But the object, the disc object, was only slightly damaged. And it was only about 15 diameters and only about 5 feet high. So, it's not a big object. It's not a big object at all that collided into this. So, my...
What was the size again? What was the size?
The object, it was about 5 feet high and about 15 feet wide. Yeah. And right. No speculation. No specifications for the civilian aircraft that came down. Yeah. So, that makes me kind of think that it's some sort of metal that... we don't have here. It's a frisbee.
Yeah. God's
frisbee. It's God's frisbee. It's just God's frisbee. Just going around. He's just like, oops, my.
Sorry,
Mexico. Sorry, I brought down a civilian aircraft just playing fetch with my dog. What would God's dog be named?
Pluto.
yes.
Sorry.
I know, it was worth it. But right around that time, when the disc object got discovered, Mexico is just like, oh shit, something's off here. We don't know what this is. So all radio transmissions just go fucking dead, just silent. But before this, American intelligence agencies, most likely the CIA, intercepted the transmissions before they went dead. And they started to put together a recovery team of 3 Huey helicopters and a Sea Stallion chopper. Have you ever seen a Sea Stallion chopper?
Are they the one with the like 2 propeller or 2 mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Like Chinooks.
Yeah, they can let's just say they're big and can carry a big load.
Oh yeah, this is pretty huge.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
pretty huge.
Wow.
Oh,
big load.
A big load. It's carried a big load. Big. but. now, like, here's my thing. Is how would the CIA piece together 3 Huey helicopters and a helicopter that size on the whim like that? How would they do that so fast unless they were already prepared? Yeah, because heaven forbid, like, we try to mobilize anything in this country without it taking at least a day. So that makes me think that this is already, like, I have theories that I'll talk about after, but it was already assembled. Now.
Yeah. Tip off.
Yeah, tip off. That's what I'm thinking. Or that they just have units everywhere at the drop of a dime, ready to go investigate this. Maybe. So
logistically, that seems very difficult.
Yeah, logistically, but if they know more than we know, who knows? Now, they have to, of course, ask Mexico. They do the polite thing. They ask the Mexico government, hey, this object that we were tracking crashed in your territory. Can we come in? And Mexico was just like, nah, dude, no. We're not going to let the CIA and helicopters come in. But
how far over the border was this?
This was in Chihuahua, so it's a little further in inland Mexico. It's probably, I believe it would be. Now, like I did this because I wanted to know, but from El Paso to where the craft landed is about a 5-hour car ride. So helicopters could get in there pretty quickly.
Yeah, I was just curious because it just seems odd the CIA would even bother asking if they just were to
Yeah.
send unmarked
Yeah, I think
helicopters to do it. It's not that big of an object, so just
just
go
go
and
in there.
take it. Yeah.
Which makes me think, which, shows that it's deeper in. It'd be hard to get those Hueys in there and that
Yeah.
that big ass helicopter in there too. And having to go at least a couple hours in without people just being, without Mexico just being like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
So they say no. They're like, no, you can't come in. But that didn't stop the Americans from still assembling a recovery team in what I'm saying, El Paso, Texas. Fort Bliss is where this team was supposedly assembled. And that's why I did the Google search of like the distance and how long it would take to get there. Now
Gotcha.
they're sitting there and they're just like, okay, Mexico's not going to let us in. So they send a couple of reconnaissance flights that report the report debris from both crash sites, and it's currently being loaded on a flatbed truck with a convoy. So Mexico's already on it. They're loading it up and putting it on the truck. And the Americans are like, okay. So, but there's they see it starting to head towards the south, but they want to keep track of it. So the truck's moving probably further south, closer to the capital of Mexico or wherever their bunkers are. And we keep on tracking them. And then they get a couple like hours later, they get another flight, like another recon flight going in there that reports that the convoy and the flatbed truck have completely quit moving. They're in the middle of the desert and not moving.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
I've seen this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I know this trope. I know where we're going.
Yeah.
Where all the bad shit happens is gonna be
Yeah,
around
exactly.
the
Exactly.
Black goo.
In the black goo, the fucking moon jizz.
Moon jizz.
Moon jizz.
Shut the fuck up about Moon Man. All
But
right. Here we go.
they're like, okay, that's fucking fishy.
Yeah.
Of course, it just stops them
That's
moving.
unusual.
That's unusual. This,
This is odd. This
yeah.
convoy we're tracking with an alien object?
Yeah.
Stop moving.
It stopped moving. So they send
Jesus.
another flight in there, and they start to realize something is off because there's no radio transmissionings happening in the area whatsoever. So, the
Just
America,
nuke it. Just
yeah, they just nuke it.
Send in a hellfire missile. Just burn it, kill it with
Yeah,
fire.
just take it
I've
down.
seen the thing. I've
You've
seen
seen
the
the
thing.
thing.
I know how this fucking thing works.
Yeah.
And don't. No.
I
I
ain't
want to be
fucking with this.
absorbed in some
Part of
crazy,
this.
some crazy Akira-like bioorganic technoid hive mind.
Yeah.
God.
Just kill it all.
Yeah, just kill it
If I
all.
saw that coming towards me, I would like probably off myself before it got to me.
And they can just blame it on some like resistance group because that's what the government
Yeah,
just
that's what they
does.
always do. They're just like, it's a
Yeah.
Central American resistance group.
How the
Yeah.
CIA works.
Yeah. That's how the CIA works, people.
Right. There we go.
Or it
I
was a
mean,
sleeper cell
it
that was
was.
like ready, already planted in the area, ready to like cover that propaganda angle.
Okay, continue. All right. See how dark this goes.
So they sent another recon flight in there, and it comes back flying at a lower altitude so they can actually get decent pictures. But it comes back that the recovery team, it basically forced the American recovery team forced their hand. Because they were sitting there just being like, Mexico told us no. Should we not? We don't want to start a conflict. But
a bunch of bureaucrats just bringing their hands worried.
But when the flight comes back with like images, they show that the truck is at a complete halt and the doors are open and there's two bodies lying near the truck. Just two bodies.
Oh God.
Yeah. So they're just like, oh shit, this is serious. This is serious. We need to get out there. We need to do it.
Were they at least intact? The bodies?
From what I understood, yes. From what I understood, okay. The bodies were intact. It was, right. Yeah.
That's like a little bit better.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, I have theories about this, too, that I'll talk about.
Yeah, I'm going to write notes down as we go,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So, they basically, the Americans, of course, go in. And when they get there, they see that there's more than just two bodies. The entire, like, the convoy, everybody that's driving vehicles is now dead, but they're only in their vehicles.
Who is this that got there?
Oh, wow.
The Americans. The Americans get there, and they see the convoy, and they see, like, the Mexican people that are driving this flatbed truck and other army vehicles for the convoy are now dead in their vehicles. They're dead in their vehicles. So, basically, what happens, this is just basically the wrap-up, and then we can start talking theories about what we think happened. And being us, we grab the debris, put it on the big Sea Stallion helicopter, and haul it off. Now, what do you think the Americans do to the convoy?
Oh, they probably, like, blow it up.
Exactly. So they cleaned it, as they said. And that was explosives. That was bombing the civilian aircraft debris, because they don't give a fuck about the civilian aircraft. They're there for the unknown object. And all the cars, vehicles with the bodies in them. So last we know of this object is that there's rumors that it was taken to Atlanta. There's rumors it was taken to a base in Texas, and there's rumors that it was even taken to Area 51.
Why Atlanta?
We don't even know if it's in Atlanta. That's just one of the CDC? Rumored spots. Yeah. CDC, maybe, because that's where my mind went to when I first. But because it was just like something killed those people there. And I should also mention this real quick. I forgot it at the end of this, but that recovery team wore biochemical suits for chemical weapons.
Right. Okay.
Mm.
Not your standard little hazmat stuff that you see. These were biochemical suits that they wore. Which, once again, did they know this was coming?
You know, maybe that civilian aircraft wasn't actually a civilian aircraft. It was like a experimental military thing, and it was used as bait. Or maybe they tried to, like, intercept the object.
Yeah. I think they knew. I think
crashed into it.
I don't think the radar operators were in on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think,
how would they get the timing right?
How would they get the timing right? Some kind of communication, possibly. Now, this is my weird theory. Is that when this happened, CIA knew it was coming. They knew that they were descending. They were probably going to meet on the Mexico border where the CIA or whatever intelligence agency could get in and out really quickly for this meeting. But what happened was the civilian aircraft came in, crashed into the object, sent it off course, and fucked everything up.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you think the CIA, in this scenario, you think the CIA and the aliens are working together?
Yes. I think there's some kind of, like, maybe they got some kind of transmission or some kind of information from a satellite that was just like, oh, they're on their way. They may not even be in cahoots, but they had the information that was there, possibly. And
did they say how slow it was going when the impact happened?
No, basically what I've read is that it slowed down to about 2,000 miles per hour and then just dropped off. It just, like, disappeared. And that's why they were just like, the radar operators was like, oh, it's a meteor. They didn't think anything of it.
Okay. So is there anything left in the story, or is that kind of...
That's kind of it.
Before I... Questions.
Go.
And ideas.
Yeah. That's what this show's about.
Now I'm thinking about... I don't know which one to go with first, but... okay. Statistical odds. Real quick. You got one object moving 2,000 miles per hour.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Slow. That's slowed down to 2,000 miles per hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then this passenger airline, and it was coming from a different direction, obviously,
mm-hmm.
had to intersect this object in open airspace, pretty much, mm-hmm. and just, I don't know. That, how fast did they say? Did they say how fast that
the civilian aircraft was going? No, I don't know. And this is what's weird about that. Is that they can't find a flight log for that civilian aircraft. Like, and the names of the occupants of that aircraft have never been revealed.
Mm.
Okay, so now I'm thinking more missile.
Missile?
Not, but why? Mm.
Yeah.
But wait.
That's possible, yeah.
What happened to the wreckage of the plane?
The wreckage of the plane. We blew it up.
They destroyed it.
Yeah, we blew up the civilian airplane.
Oh, we did both that and the convoy.
Yeah, the convoy and the remains of the airplane. The wreckage. We blew it up.
Anything that came into contact with this object was destroyed.
Basically. Yes. So, anything that was Yeah.
Okay. So in that scenario, the CIA is working with them, having a meetup. Somehow, someone with some very precise... That's a hell of a freak accident. Like, I have trouble believing that could be an accident.
Yeah.
So how would you take over the civilian airline? And did it even exist?
Yeah.
Was it a missile? Was it some other sort of... other type of aircraft, and who in that scenario who's the one that attacked the vessel, right?
Exactly. Like, we can go by two things here. We can go by the story as is, that a civilian aircraft hit it crashed, mm-hmm. and we destroyed the wreckage. We take the story for what it is, but we're not going to do that.
I'm putting simulations together in my head. Yeah. I got like a few different storylines going, and I'm like, okay, yeah, all right, like, so now we're in this scenario.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, mine, you think it's a missile.
In that scenario, I don't think you couldn't pilot a plane coming in from another direction into an object going 2,000 miles per... I'm not a pilot, but mm-hmm. I just feel like that would be more difficult than it sounds. You only have one shot.
Yeah, you only have one shot at it.
And you'd have to calculate that on the fly in your head.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, but now if we're talking, if this object puts off any sort of heat and you have a heat-seeking missile, then that's just no problem, right? If mm-hmm. you manage to get it off, like a Stinger missile from the ground, ground to air.
But that would imply that they knew what kind of object it was. Like, because how would they know it would generate heat? How would they know that the metal on it that was hardly damaged at all from the wreckage that we know of, if we take this story verbatim? Mm-hmm. How would they even know what weapon to use? Like a heat-seeking missile? Because we don't know what the object's made out of.
Was there ever any information about Mexico's side of this story?
Mexico basically remains just as silent on it as we do. Basically, okay. They're just like, they don't talk about it.
Well, the other thing I was thinking was a lot of countries secure their borders with, I don't know about Mexico at that time, but a lot of them secure their borders with some sort of ground-to-air missile systems.
Mm-hmm.
That would, I mean, I guess, obviously we don't know a lot about this object, but if it did put off heat, they may have triggered some sort of, you know,
yeah,
some of those SAM sites or something. I don't know. Would you... certainly possible.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm just trying to think about who would, in that case, it would have been Mexico. They'll be the one that shot him down, which would be kind of funny.
Yeah.
This story. Yeah. They're like, no, we want some of that technology. You know?
Yeah. We want that technology.
Yeah.
David, what do you think?
Yeah. The precision is like the key thing. It's like the key question mm-hmm. to figure out, like, where did that come from?
Yeah, it's
so.
Yeah,
was. Do you know if there were any other reports of like other countries even receiving like weird radio signals? Or
no, no. The only thing I know Sorry, I got wicked cotton mouth. but. The only thing I know is the two stories of our side and, like, what they tell us the Mexican side is.
Yeah.
That Mexico reported another aircraft going down in the same area.
I'm working on a theory, so...
Yeah.
I figure... I'm going to let you guys, like, throw out more theories, yeah. And I'm going to kind of, like, test one in my head, too.
So, I will give my theory. And it's going to basically be, we knew, maybe we were meeting with them, or maybe we just knew about them meeting with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes down, ship goes down, like, hits the plane, and everybody's just like, oh shit. And it's veered off course. So basically, they had to clean it up. The alien or whatever that was in there, maybe the whatever it was, got out of the ship when it was being hauled off, and psychic attack. That's what took down the Mexican troops that were taking care of this was a psychic attack.
Okay. Yeah, if it's a yeah.
Oh.
Certainly. I think certainly.
Sorry. Did they explain, like, the condition of the corpses?
No, there's no. They're not going to tell us that.
Yeah.
Well, that was one of my questions. Was there any autopsies or not?
No, because we blew them up. Right. I mean, we could still, you know, study the remains, but, like, anything that would be, like...
Yeah, you're right.
Usable, we probably destroy it because, you know, we didn't just go in there with a little kerosene and a matchbook.
Yeah.
You knew that recovery team. If they went in there with biochemical suits, you know they went in there armed with some heavy-duty shit to blow up something that's going to be explosive and high enough heat to melt any kind of evidence, kill any kind of fingerprints, DNA, anything. And we're just getting, just like, the thing about these stories when I read them is I always go into them thinking I'm just getting the top layer of cream. That very top layer of cream. That's all they're going to give us.
Yeah.
Because there's probably so much more underneath there. They could have went in there with some kind of special weapons prepared for a fight. Yeah. You're humming. Maybe. Lay it on us. David.
I'm writing.
David, lay it on me. Lay it on me.
All right. I'm thinking it's like an alien drop pod sack, like the Tyranids or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where they just like drop an initial set of like genetic material to start taking over a planet.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow the CIA figured that out. Yeah, so you that might explain like the biohazard.
Yeah, so you think the CIA kind of just saved the day. That they stopped some sort of bad shit happening and took it down.
That's the little benevolent interpretation. But, I mean, maybe. Could be they discovered something. Got some insider tip from... Galactic Confederation or some shit. I don't know.
So that you would be working like somewhere in the same like mindset that I am, that there's some sort of communication between our government and aliens.
Yeah, like even if it was just like a info drop or something and not like a, you know, back and forth, like, yeah, there's some kind of communication.
Yeah,
because I feel like
at least awareness.
Yeah. And I also feel like other countries would have picked up on some weird radio signals, like especially, you know, very ordered transmissions. So how would you... You'd have to encrypt that somehow.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just trying to talk to one particular entity, like the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And as for, like, the actual interaction between the object and the plane or whatever that was. I don't know. It could be a missile.
Yeah.
It could be like...
How would you pilot a plane with that kind of accuracy, you know?
Yeah. I
don't... That's crazy. That's like throwing a baseball to hit someone else's baseball they just threw.
Yeah. Like, no, I agree with that. So... I mean, it would take a lot.
It would be trapped.
That's why it's so weird to me. That's why it's so weird to me is it, you're right. Like, it had to be a freak accident to me. That's where my mind's working is the CIA knew that something was coming. And they had plans for it. And we don't know where exactly it was supposed to land. But civilian aircraft, some dude just being like, hey, you want to come fly in my plane that I just bought? And then boom, it's a fucking unknown object. Veers it off course. We don't know. The thing I read was occupants. So plural.
Well, what are the specs on the plane?
We don't know. Nothing. We just know that
they didn't say what type.
No, we don't know. Aircraft? We don't know what type of aircraft. All we know is an aircraft crashed. All we know is they said an aircraft crashed at the same time as this unidentified object crashed.
Okay. An aircraft.
An aircraft.
That's a very doublespeak way of saying, if you say that, you could basically be like that's a way of lying without lying.
Mm-hmm.
To me, like if that is a missile, right? A missile is an aircraft.
A missile like, is technically an aircraft. You're right.
Well, that's how they spin things. They talk between they lie, but they do it in a very strategic way, you know? So, who knows? It's too vague, and especially there's no details on what the craft was, how many occupants it holds, how fast it was traveling.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we know that it was we don't know, but the only thing we have in this equation is we know that it was traveling, like the object was traveling at less than 2,000 miles after traveling much faster earlier.
Yeah, I don't believe the plane existed.
You don't believe the plane existed? So you think it's a missile?
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. I mean, that seems to me like they're just, like I said, using kind of double speak to cover their their rear end. The question is, what did they burn? I guess it would just been evidence of the missile in this scenario, at least. But
hold on, I looked up something. So, the helicopters that went to retrieve it, there was more. They actually brought in more helicopters outside the initial ones of the event, of the recovery team. So that adds in something else to my, in my weird little stone mind, that they did know about it. They knew it was coming. There was some sort of plan. They had the vehicles ready to go over there and talk to them or communicate or trade with them or whatever. And then something went wrong and then they're fucking pivoting and they're calling in more helicopters. And the difference is these helicopters were more sand color. And it's been said that this aircraft crashed in the desert. And these helicopters are American helicopters, sand-colored, but unmarked, with no markings whatsoever of, like, United States Air Force or United States Army. They're unmarked.
Hmm.
I'm trying to see.
What was the total number of helicopters?
So, the original one was four Hueys and a big Sea Stallion one. And they called in more, and they don't report where these aircrafts came from. The sources of these new aircrafts are unknown. So when they called in more, we don't even know where they came from either.
Do we know how many at all?
Let me see.
The new one? The
just says one? It just says multiple here.
Okay. So what do you think? Do you think there was a plane? Like, I'm curious just because I'm...
I
have another kind of leads to...
Speak. I think that it is sci-fi comedy action. And by that, I mean...
Yeah, please, continue.
And by that, I think I think what I originally said, CIA knew... CIA was meeting with them. Airplane hits them. Oh, fucking shit. How do we solve this? And it is just some kind of weird buddy film.
Weird buddy film.
Yeah, it's a weird sci-fi action comedy because it has all the elements of a sci-fi action movie with explosions and dead bodies and psychic alien vampires, but it all got veered off course because Bob decided he wanted to show Ned his new airplane.
All right, so you're taking this to this is actually a comedy now.
That's just where I'm working from. That's where my brain worked when I read this.
Real version of like ET phones, like of ET or something.
It is the Asylum House version of ET.
Maybe this was Hollywood's first attempt at like a real space alien movie.
Well, no,
creative.
There was a couple alien movies before this. This happened in 1974. Yeah. The original thing came out in the 40s.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. It's a good movie.
I love that movie.
I love both versions. I think both versions are fantastic.
Did you like the 2011 one?
I didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it either.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't as
good. No, it was, you were never going to beat Kurt Russell and Keith David. You're just not going to.
God, yeah. Man.
Yeah.
That movie, that monster, and actually there's a novel, a short novel, a short story called The Things.
Mm-hmm.
That is, do you remember the book Grendel that was Beowulf written from the perspective of the monster Grendel?
Mm-hmm.
This is the same idea. It's free online. You can look it up. But it is The Things, and it's written from the perspective of the alien.
Mm-hmm.
And
nice.
It's very. It's not. Doesn't take long to read. Very, very worth it. And it kind of gives you a creepy view into like a biological hive mind that absorbs other biological entities, and what the hell that would even think like. But definitely worth a read. I don't know. I guess I segue into my theory if you want.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. Well, actually, I do have a question. One more.
Yeah.
So on the CIA, David, are you as much as they could be the good guys in this story, like, do you think, I mean, there's a possibility that they're the ones responsible for shooting it down.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, like, do
that's
you,
very likely. I mean, we yeah. do kind of have that policy of shoot first, ask questions later.
Yeah. No, I
agree. The other option is they're meeting with it. Mm-hmm. Either way, they're prepared.
That yeah, having that amount of equipment on hand.
Yeah.
Makes me just go that we're prepared.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, I the extra helicopters, I would like to know how many and stuff like that, but
let me
because
see.
That tells you how prepared they were. Right.
Well, that's another part of my sci-fi action comedy, is that what? They weren't prepared. They thought they were prepared. They thought they were prepared in 80s fashion, and then oops, bad shit happens, and they're pivoting, and that's why we get the unmarked helicopters.
Yeah. Maybe.
I mean, action. Lay it on comedy. Me. Sci-fi action comedy.
This summer. Come up with a title real quick.
Yeah.
An alien crash lands in Mexico. Alright. Alright, I'm actually going to bring this back to the black goo.
You're going to bring this back to the black goo?
Yeah, in a lot of the black goo modern mythos, it's viral.
Mm-hmm.
And intelligent.
Okay. So you think that's what killed him?
Yeah, well, we'll get there.
Okay.
It's definitely what killed them, I think, in this scenario. I think it's a scout ship of mm-hmm. some nature. I don't know, maybe they were just checking out Trump's wall or something. I don't know. But a scout ship that's built very much like a drone, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it in a very alien way. actually, a good example of this would be in Battlestar Galactica. And the fighter drones, that the Cylon fighter drones, they were metal on the outside, but on the inside they were like the thing. They were all flesh and organs, and they mm-hmm. were these hybridized like biomechanical techno organic beings mm-hmm. that were ships
like the Phalanx.
Yeah, and they didn't. And when you think about that, that's not that different than the Greys, right? The Greys mm-hmm. are these biomechanical engineered organisms built that way for a reason. So who's to say they don't build drone ships the same way? And they just don't. They just have different bodies with different intelligences. Because and that's the other thing in Battlestar Galactica, those drone ships had the intelligence of like very smart animals, but not any free will of anything close to it. So maybe that's what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Engineered things. Now, getting back to the black goo, the reason I would go, so the black goo is living, sort of, or it's organic and viral in nature, as living as a virus is, because it's a weird undead thing, because it's not really living, it doesn't exactly reproduce, it replicates, it's very techno-organic. Viruses in general are already they're very odd and very, very robotic in nature. So, you know, maybe I'm onto something. But this black goo type thing could be the organic compound that kind of runs the ship. You know, maybe it's nanotechnology involved in it too,
mm-hmm.
but it could be some kind of biological system, neural net of some sort, I don't know, that just runs these systems, and maybe viruses is what it's based on. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a common thing about that, like, modern mythos of the black goo that's formed, is that it is viral in nature. And in Prometheus, you really see that, right? And then and in the sequel too, where the black goo like infects them, right?
Mm-hmm.
That whole viral idea behind it. And, you know, even in that story, that was a part of this alien ship, right,
mm-hmm.
that they had in those containers that got out and spread into the environment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And in that same kind of scenario, if this substance that operates this, let's say, the scout ship, this drone, is extremely dangerous because if it does get into the environment, you know, like, what was the name of the sequel to Prometheus? What was it? Can't remember. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. Covenant. Alien Covenant.
Covenant.
Yeah, Covenant.
Alien Covenant.
Yeah, Alien Covenant.
Alien Covenant.
Losing Covenant.
Yeah.
Yeah. The goo from the first movie had gotten into the environment when the ship crashed. And anyone that was there got infected. Now, if that were to happen and it wasn't cleaned up, you may be looking at a situation where a government would have to resort to nuking a site.
Yeah.
And covering that up, which that's a lot harder to cover up than we shot down an alien. Well, either it shot down or it collided with another aircraft, whatever.
That would have to be a very small nuclear missile, a very small nuke to clear that up.
Yeah, they would. Right, exactly. If this is something that is extremely dangerous, because maybe it is nanotech, like a nanotech.
So you don't think that, like, do you think that there was anything even in the ship, or do you think the ship was it wasn't a ship, that was actually a living creature, it was the biomechanical, what you're talking about with the black goo inside of it being techno-organic, that, like, and it just, like, seeped its goo out of its, like, metal shell that was hardly damaged, even though hitting a goddamn airplane.
Wait, but think about that. Think about that. If it's just hardly damaged, that's just enough for a little bit to seep out.
Just enough. Oh, yeah.
In the truck, it would have spread and infected everything around it, in organic or otherwise, and the humans, boom, right there.
Yeah.
The reason I think it's biological in nature, the risk, because is the way it was covered up. It was covered up with fire.
Mm-hmm.
If it was a chemical risk, if there was some sort of, like, dangerous compound that was part of the ship that would be leaking out into the environment or on the plane or something, yeah, they'd still use, hazmat suits, but I don't think you would just be like...
But they wouldn't torch it.
I don't think.
Well, yeah, that's another thing is, like, it was specific that these were suits meant... for chemical warfare, like meant for David, being chemical.
David, you're obviously the chemistry man. Would you just be like, oh, strange alien chemical, let me set it on fire? Or because you don't know what the reaction
is. Yeah, you wouldn't know what the reaction would be.
You wouldn't know what the fuck you're doing. Yeah.
Yeah, for all they know, it could be like gasoline times 1,000.
Well, or they do know what they're doing.
Or they do know what they're doing, and they knew that the right amount of fire... right amount of charge would eradicate whatever it was. So, like, me and you were kind of, like, agreeing that there was some kind of knowledge that this was coming.
Yeah. Right, because they knew how to cover it up, which means it's still, the fire thing leads me to biological yet again. And I guess we should just say biomechanical, because it is, if the creation of this black goo intelligent organism is part organic and part, like, nanotechnology, which is why it's able to, like, I guess you just pour it into a ship mold and it probably just, like, connects to it. And now it's a drone or something. I don't know. Kind of cool technology, I guess, if you think about it that way. But I think that it was not chemical for sure. And then the other thing about Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the CDC. Again.
Right, but
that's just one rumored place. So if you're going off this, you would say that they probably took it to Atlanta. Out of all the sites, they took it to Atlanta because of it being some kind of bioorganic material.
All the sites.
Yeah,
it could be all the sites.
They could split up the pieces. Just been like, hey.
And the
samples. Yeah, it took a couple samples to the CDC and maybe stashed the rest of it in like Area 51.
That's what you do. To be scientifically accurate in your testing, you would split up your testing on multiple laboratories, right? If you if you were trying to be really strict about your scientific method with something, you would totally. And you were just some, I don't know, either deep pocket government organization or a corporation or both. You would, you would definitely. Probably be very, very systematic in your you know, analyzing these alien objects because of their value.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, sure, they could have sent it to all of the above and places we don't know about, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, hold on. You listed three locations, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because that's like with the, with, you know, being...
They could have sent something. The rigorous... They could have... Yeah. Go on. Sorry.
Well, like the rigorous testing is like you really need three at least to like really confirm something. Because you could do like two independent tests and be like, well, this could be just like a 50-50 thing. But when you get like the third element in there, like that... You
that's
really
when
start
it,
narrowing stuff
narrowing
down.
It down. Oh, gotcha. Or they could have.
I got another.
Shoot.
Sorry. No. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Just wanted to say. All right. Go ahead.
No. What I think is maybe they divvied it up. They were just like bioorganic material, like the goo. Send it to the CDC. Let's find out what the fuck this metal is that can withstand a plane hitting it. Area 51, and then whatever is left is gets sent to the Texas base that was rumored.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know it was the CIA that was involved?
We don't, but for the like story's sake, I just assumed that it was the CIA.
So this is just a black ops group of any kind.
Yeah, but they said most likely CIA, and it was American radar that spotted it first.
It could be a corporate PMC, too.
That's true, but...
They weren't popular back then.
No, but I'm sure they existed.
Oh, yeah. I mean, mercenaries have always existed.
Yeah, mercenaries, but, like, in the current form, in the parameters that we're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know.
Being more than just a, you know, what you see in the movies, being, like, a nefarious corporation... That got tipped off or had a spy in the radar operations and just been like, hey, this is happening. Maybe. Oh, shit. Like.
I was going to say, oh, go for it.
What if they had a spy? What if it wasn't the CIA? What if they had a spy that had been reporting information to them and they were expecting something? The corporation themselves. And it's still a sci-fi action comedy, still same storyline. Oops, plane hit the UFO. Fuck. Now, I read something else interesting while we were talking about that, is that this was actually, this route that the civilian aircraft was taking was actually a huge drug running route.
Mm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like, so it could have been the CIA... Sorry.
Exactly.
That
would add a whole new layer to the comedy of it to me. Of just like the CIA is sending illegal drugs to Central America, and then they reckon to the.
Wait. When was Bill Clinton governor of Arkansas?
Oh no. I don't know, but I'll find out.
I'm working on a fake theory.
You're working on an insane theory.
A fake theory.
Governor.
He was nothing.
1979.
Yeah, he was Attorney General of Arkansas in 77 to 79. He wasn't governor of Arkansas until 1983. Yeah, I saw you. You're like, damn it! I can't connect this the way I want to.
I was gonna weave this all together.
You were gonna weave it all together, and it all hinged on at one of Epstein's buddies.
Yep.
God damn.
Yeah.
I was gonna say earlier before the drug running route development was like, if it was actually a PMC, that would make for like an even better movie
story.
Yeah.
Better story. Because like, well, what if the PMC is like. Realize what they got and decided to go rogue, and then that's why the CIA or whatever government agency came in, just like nuked it all to hell.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay, so David's on action movie, like thriller action movie, like thriller.
Yeah, like horror, you're on thriller, thriller action. Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Are you doing horror too, or are you just doing thrilling and like?
Oh hell yeah! Because I mean, if they're coming in with hazmat suits and like flamethrowers and they're torching, if we're going with like the black goo thing, yeah, this is like a total thriller.
Do you agree with me? Do you think it's a organic viral thing, given how they covered it up? Or something dangerous biologically?
I think, yeah, it's hard to say. I think it's like, I'm like leaning in that direction. But again, if they kind of knew what they were getting into and they knew they could just like torch it, you know, and it wouldn't like explode in a huge, you know, leave a huge crater or something, they would have had that information no matter what. So it didn't have to be organic in that case. But I think it's like a gut reaction. Like, even if they knew it was organic, they still would have brought the same thing.
Here's another thought.
Go on.
Also, it's like alien material. So they would have brought their, like, you know, best equipment for it no matter what.
Yeah. The black goo could... Okay, another... I like connecting these to, like, popular fiction tropes, because I think often that's how disclosure happens. Especially when certain ideas become kind of popularized in the hive mind, you know, of humanity. So another trope is ships that are grown, which is kind of like those ships from Battlestar Galactica. But another example is like in Farscape and then Stargate Atlantis, there's these aliens, the Wraith, who are these vampiric entities that suck the life out of humans, which sounds a little too familiar. But they grow their ships, and the outside is like impenetrable and like stronger than any, you know, known metals and stuff, because it's some weird ass techno organic thing. And what if that goo is just like its blood or something?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going with when you started talking about it in the first place, that the ship is alive. The ship is actually no occupant.
And grown.
Yeah, there was no occupant inside that metal husk. It is alive. It is sentient.
Yeah, but not like too sentient.
Yeah. It's a heavy load again. Yeah.
That's kind of creepy to think about. So I'm going more horror story / mystery thriller. David's taking an action bent, and you're doing action comedy.
Action sci-fi comedy. Action sci-fi comedy. After we do this, I am going to write a treatment. I'm going to smoke more weed and do another treatment. Yeah, I think it's a winning genre whenever we started film production again. If that ever happens.
Mm-hmm.
I do love that genre, though. I love sci-fi horror action. Like, Aliens is probably one of the
You
best
just have to add comedy. You have to add comedy to it now.
And they do.
They do. But... I want this to be the weirdest buddy story ever.
Who's your actors? Who's the main...
I don't know. I kind of want to go with some no-names because I clearly don't have the budget to pay for anybody. I would have already read this goddamn screenplay.
If you make it weird enough and throw in a couple references to, like, Xenu, you could probably get Tom Hanks on board. Not Tom Hanks.
Tom Cruise.
Well,
that one.
This could be like that movie and Community that Chang does for Abed. You know, the space detective.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There was what's my motivation? It's going to be that level of quality of acting. And then David goes on to become the ham girl guy. And David, you need to watch the rest of Community to know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I need to watch that. That's
no.
Shit.
I think
that doesn't sound like something that fits me. Just saying.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Psychic vampires.
Which again,
there was an occupant in the ship. Psychic vampires, and the occupant is still at large. They don't know what the fuck happened to it. He is wandering. Whatever the fuck it is wandering the deserts of Mexico, and anytime he comes across a psychic vampire attack, that's why nobody's ever heard of it. They either kill their minds or erase them. Hell.
Okay, this sounds sort of like an evil alien version of the show Kung Fu with David.
Yeah,
but
hell? We don't know what the alien looked like. When did Kung Fu come out?
Oh, we know what it looked like.
Well, we know what David Carrigan. We know what David Carrigan looked like. Yeah. Hold on.
It's the Chupacabra.
Hold on. What is that crazy city in California? Slab Town?
Slab Town, yeah. What David Carrigan looked like, yeah. Hold on.
It's the Chupacabra.
Hold on. What is that crazy city in California? Slab Town?
Slab Town, yeah.
What if he lives there? Because, I mean, that would be, like, the perfect place. Like, no one would ever know. Right?
Yeah.
No one would ever know.
I mean, Slab Town literally has, like, what, like an East Jesus Mountain or something? Mm-hmm. Like, it's literally on the map.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way anyone would know if, you know, there were fucking aliens there.
Yeah, no one would know.
There's no law enforcement.
No.
A lot of bad things happen there, though.
Yeah. Maybe the psychic vampire alien is a crime lord there. We don't know. He's just like, shit, I can't get back to my home because these stupid assholes took my fucking ship. I just walked away to take a piss, and then they blew up everything.
Shit. It's one of those, like, those clunker ships.
Yeah, it was like a fucking cheap ship. And he was just here, you know, just sightseeing. And then he's just like, he wrecks. He goes to take a piss. And the next thing you know, Mexico is taking his ship and putting on a flatbed. So he follows them. Psychic vampire attacks them. Americans come, and he's just like, fuck, this is. Or he has to go pee again, and then he comes back, and he's like, motherfucker, my ship's gone. Now I can't get back. And now he is in Slab City as a criminal overlord using his psychic vampire powers to erase anybody's memory. And that's why law enforcement doesn't come there.
So he's like the Silence from Doctor Who.
Yes.
Do you remember that at all? David, look up a picture of the Silence from Doctor Who. It is creepy as hell. Do it. It's amazing. This is how he looks.
Oh, yep. Shit.
Yeah.
That suit and all.
Crazy as fuck.
He's like Slenderman combined with a gray. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, that's.
Yeah, but that's what they did in Doctor Who. They. Like, anytime you would see them, if you looked away, your memory would be wiped.
Yeah.
Of, like, your perception of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's how they maintain their anonymity. Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy. So, alien being is wandering around the desert still, or it's in Slab City, and it's just erasing anybody's perception of them the minute it comes across it. Okay. All because he left his ship for 5 minutes.
Oh, wait, no, this was the 70s. So, actually, I was getting more of an Incredible Hulk TV show vibe, you know? The dun-dun-dun-dun.
Maybe the alien's a screenwriter. And or maybe. Just feeding his ideas to a human to make some sort of profit. They have, like, a handshake agreement. He was just like, I had a handshake agreement to deal with the CIA, but fuck.
Do you remember that Stargate? That was in Stargate as well, that trope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that alien that became a movie producer.
Yeah. I think that it's the truth. It's a slow softening up so that the alien that crashed in Mexico can reveal itself to be like, I've been here all the time and I've written several Oscar-winning pictures.
Which means he's in Hollywood. Which
of
means...
course. Tie it together.
Danny DeVito.
Hey, I would take it. I would fucking take it. I thought you were going to go darker
Who's the weirdest? I don't know. DeVito gets pretty dark and Always Sunny, but...
Yeah.
Who's the weirdest movie producer? I don't know.
Oh, man.
Ron Howard.
So... Yeah, Opie was. Right.
I like your story. It's good. He needs to have a villain like, the redeemed villain arc for the next,
redeemed
for
villain
the
arc for the sequel.
Yeah, he starts using his powers for good and becomes a detective, or something. I don't know. Something. He's got to redeem his past. Yeah.
what would they call the original movie? Like, all I wanted to do was take a piss, but now my spaceship's gone.
Dude, where's my spaceship?
Dude, where's my spaceship? Dude.
So, and the second one's a buddy cop movie.
Yeah, and the second one's a buddy cop movie.
He has to team up with a racist human cop. And through their journey together, they discover the love of that transcends all species in space.
And then the giant black goop accidentally leaves his body and kills his buddy. They hug, and then, like, due to his porousness, because I'm just going to assume the alien is very porous, and next thing you know, human body cop dead. And he's just like, no! And now he wanders the desert like Kung Fu, waiting to redeem himself.
Well, no. So it came back around, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in the sequel,
life is just a disc.
It's a cycle, right?
It's a cycle.
So he just goes through. He gets this whole redemption arc.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes out of it a new person, but then the very person that helped him redeem himself, and he helped redeem as well, then dies due to his own negligence of his own power, and he has to go off back into wandering the world. It's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It ends where it began. I think you've got a story here. I think you need to get on it. I think you need to start writing that story.
Not writing I that like story.
You got two arcs for two.
Two arcs.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can make it trilogy.
A trilogy.
Everyone loves trilogies.
Everybody loves trilogies. Yeah. I agree.
Trilogies, and then make it into a miniseries a couple years later.
Just make it into a miniseries on HBO in 10 years after that. Yeah, just keep on recycling it. That way we keep the rights and they're not stolen from us.
Exactly. Gotta keep using them. Gotta keep using them.
Gotta just add a few more spokes, maybe, you know.
Don't forget merchandising.
You gotta have the merchandise.
Maybe like retcon a couple of characters.
Yeah, retcon a couple of characters. If it's made years later, somebody will find something problematic with it, and we'll have to change that to make it palatable to the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Yeah. There'll be some new outrage.
I mean, the racist cop is already going to be controversial.
I know, especially right now.
Important.
That's why the alien hugs him after the cop redeems himself. The porous alien.
You don't understand. I mean, it's symbolic, okay?
It's symbolic.
Sorry, I'm trying to fake this, but I can't.
You can't do it.
I can't even act that. No.
Yeah.
No, it's too much. I like how we just came up with an insanely awesome storyline for two movies, and man, why aren't we famous yet? What are we doing?
This is our breakout moment.
This is our breakout moment.
Right here, right now?
Yeah, right here, right now.
It only goes up from here.
It only goes up. God, I hope so, because it's looking pretty goddamn dark.
Please, David. Please tell me that's true.
Yeah, please tell us that that's fucking true. Yeah.
Do you see the future, David?
I mean, maybe.
No, I think things will get better. I have foreseen it.
Yeah.
It's going to get a little worse before it does.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
Definitely.
We're at an hour 8. I think I'm going to title this, Dude, Where's My Spaceship?
Perfect.
And, or say it's a sci-fi action comedy documentary.
Mm-hmm. Documentary now.
It's a documentary.
This movie felt like
you gotta add everything.
A mockumentary. Make it a mockumentary.
A mockumentary.
So it's like Cloverfield, you know? It's made to look like a documentary, like a found footage documentary.
Yeah. Oh, that could be like the style of the first movie.
Yeah, that could be the style. And then they make the other one with John Goodman, and it's pretty good. And they make a third one that nobody fucking watches because it was